Welcome to the Reach for Life broadcast from Christian Resources International. I'm Harry Jeffrey, and I'll be with you for the next half hour, featuring inspirational music and an uplifting message by Pastor Charles D. Brooks of the Breath of Life telecast. The Reach for Life program gives you knowledge for successful living in today's rapidly changing world. If you're raising a family, struggling with issues concerning your career, or seeking to enhance the overall quality of your life, stay right here. Reach for Life brings you thrilling messages from Pastor Charles D. Brooks, veteran evangelist and director speaker of the Breath of Life television broadcast. The Breath of Life telecast may be available in your area, and you won't want to miss it. Please check your local television listings, including your cable TV listings, for the time and station. Make sure you don't miss Pastor Brooks on the Breath of Life telecast. Set your VCR to tape the program for you if you have to be away. Thank you, Helen Baylor. You can write to us anytime with your requests for prayer or your Bible questions. We are here to help, and we know of a Bible-believing pastor in your area that can be of further assistance. Write to us today at Reach for Life, Post Office Box 3339, Silver Spring, Maryland, 20918. That's Reach for Life, Post Office Box 3339, Silver Spring, Maryland, 20918 in the U.S. We'll give this address again later in the program, so you might want to have a pencil ready. Two Preachers Who Quit the Church is the title of today's message. Who are these preachers, and why would they quit going to church? Dr. Charles D. Brooks explains who they are and what's going on here. Let's join Pastor Brooks for the conclusion of this gripping message.
And you told me to go into all the world, and I'm in prison out here. I'm the last one. And Jesus said, my friend John, you got that a ways wrong. You're not the last one. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. And as long as I live, the church has somebody to lean on, somebody to lead them. Oh, my friends, the Bible tells us in Micah 5, and this is amazing to me, in the book of Micah chapter 5, Old Testament even told us where Jesus would be born. Start reading verse 2 and read to verse 7. And it says, but thou, now don't miss this, and I'm going to end with this. It says, but thou, O Bethlehem Ephratah. Now wait a minute. Here, hundreds of years before Jesus would be born, the Old Testament names the town. Now there are a lot of towns called Bethlehem. I know of three in the United States. I used to live near one in Pennsylvania. Bethlehem. Steel. You heard of Bethlehem Steel? They made steel up there. So here is the prophet saying, but thou, O Bethlehem, and lest you mix it up with another Bethlehem, he said, Bethlehem Ephratah. What does that mean? O Bethlehem of Ephrath. That's like saying Phoenix, Arizona. Very specific. The prophet said, but thou, O Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little amongst the provinces of Judah, yet out of thee shall it come forth. Yes, now that's what you call sticking your neck out. I'm glad I serve a God when he speaks, it comes to pass. What do you say, church? Amen. The prophet named Bethlehem. Now I was over there and I began to ask questions. I wanted to know how far is Bethlehem from Nazareth? And my guide said at least 75 miles as the crow flies. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to get the picture. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, the Old Testament named the town Bethlehem of Ephrath. Now, if I were God, the safest thing to do would be to find a virgin in Bethlehem. Huh? But he didn't. He found one in Nazareth. 75 miles away. Now, it seems to me that God would have said, since I have chosen a virgin way up here, I better get her and her husband down there, let them get themselves an apartment so they can be there as the baby comes. Waited till she was 9 months pregnant. I want you to get this. If Joseph and Mary had not ended up in Bethlehem, the Bible would have been a lie. Because the prophet had named Bethlehem. He didn't name Nazareth. So they got to get down there. Now they wait until a baby is due at any time. What could make a man in his right mind travel at least 75 miles on a donkey with a pregnant wife? They didn't have any ambulances. They didn't have any helicopters. What kind of man would do that? And you know, you hear it every Christmas in Luke chapter 2. And there went forth a decree from Caesar Augustus. A decree. Let me call it an imperial decree. And when the emperor gave a decree, you didn't have any option. A Augusta didn't care a thing about women, especially Jewish women. What did he care that that woman was pregnant? He gave a decree, and Joseph had to go or die. So he saddled his donkey, and he padded it well, and he put his wife on that donkey, and he started out. And he had to travel slowly. His wife's pregnant. He had to stop often to let her rest. And while he is traveling slowly and stopping, everybody else is rushing past. And when he finally got there, after perhaps several days, there was no room in the inn. And you know the Christmas story. Finally, somebody offered a stable, and away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. But he did it in Bethlehem. Why don't you say amen out there? Now, I read about a compound law of probability. And according to the compound law of probability, the chance of that coming true by accident would be one chance in one with 100 ciphers behind it. Now, if you take a one and put 3 ciphers behind it, you got 1,000. 3 more, you got 1,000,000. 3 more, you got 1,000,000,000. 3 more, you got 1,000,000,000,000. 3 more, you got 250,000,000,000. 3 more, you got 250,000,000,000. 3 more, you got 600,000,000,000. 3 more, you got 700,000,000,000. 3 more, you got 800,000,000,000. 3 more, you got 900,000,000,000. 3 more, you got 1,000,000,000,000. And that's only 30 zeros. In other words, according to the law of compound probability, the chance of this prophecy coming true by accident was impossible. Would you say amen? Amen. The Old Testament pointing to Jesus. Amen. The Old Testament being dependable and accurate. The Old Testament coming true. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. There is no problem between them. These Testament brothers ought to go to church more. If men would study this and read from this and base their religion on this rather than creeds and opinions and philosophies, the Church of Jesus Christ would worship on the Sabbath together, because that's the only one in here. The Church of Jesus Christ would worship the same way on the same day. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And now let us close with some things on the screen. Ladies and gentlemen, the Testament brothers, the two preachers, read one little text and close the Bible, when what we need is an exposition of the Word of God. The Bible says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And this is, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what the word of God can do. It can get to you. It can speak to you. It will expose you, and then it will point you to Jesus. It will comfort you, and it'll give you hope. The Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, these young men went into a fiery furnace rather than disobey the Word of God. And Nebuchadnezzar said, didn't we cast in 3? And lo, I see 4. All right. Then there was Daniel, went into a lion's den rather than disobey the Word of God. And an angel came and locked the lion's jaw. Those lions were hungry. You know how I know? Because the Bible says once they got Daniel out, they threw the guys in there who had lied on him, and they ate everything, including their bones. And then there was a whale that had to obey the word of God. That whale sucked old Jonah down a tube, gave him a ride for 3 days, and finally God spoke to that whale And that whale had to do what God said. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, what a mighty God we serve, and what a mighty word there is for our admonition. And after that, we look at the word raising the dead. One day Jesus walked over to a tomb where one of his best friends was, and he said, "Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forth. Jesus didn't even go down in there. He just gave three little words, and the words went down in there, and the words got mixed up in the animate clay, and Lazarus came alive by the word of God. Oh, it's quick and powerful. And then we think that it opened the eyes of the blind. Old blind Bartimaeus said, "Lord, have mercy on me." He said, "What do you want me to do?" He said, "I want my sight." And Jesus touched him, and he became a seeing man again. The word of God healed the sick. One lady said, "All you got to do is speak the word. Speak the word." Jesus' word is powerful, quick and powerful. And then one day he was out on the sea with his disciples, and a storm came up. One of those storms that the devil brewed. And it was so severe, his disciples were trying their best. After all, they were sailors. They figured, "We can handle this thing." But it got so much worse, the water began to come in, and they went and shook Jesus, who was asleep. "Master, carest thou not that we perish? How can you lie asleep when each moment so madly is threatening a grave in the angry deep?" And Jesus stood up, and he looked out into the eye of a hurricane, held up those powerful hands, and the translator said, he didn't say, "Peace, be still." He said, "Shut up!" And the winds and the waves obeyed his word. The word of God is quick and powerful. It can straighten out our confused minds. And if we let it, it'll straighten out our upset homes. It'll settle your nerves. It'll let you sleep like a baby. The word of God, I say, can command devils. The demoniacs of Gadara came running out of the mountains as though they would tear Jesus apart. The disciples saw him coming and took off. And when they realized Jesus didn't run, they got embarrassed and they wanted to go back. But when the devil ran up in the presence of Jesus, he came to a screeching halt. If I'm standing with Jesus, the devil can't do me any harm. Now, he's powerful, but I ain't scared of him. And that ain't self-confidence. That's confidence in Jesus. I hide behind Jesus. Glory to God. He told the devils, "Get out of that man." And they had to get. Oh, I love his word. The word of God reveals only the truth. Only. That's why we bring that one book up here. We have many spiritual propositions, and we prove them with the Bible. You don't hear me quoting Mahatma Gandhi and all these other good people. I quote the word of God. And if we did that, you discover that truth can be found, for the Holy Ghost will come and help you to discover it. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Sanctify means to make holy. How is God going to produce a people that are different than the run of the mill? How? Through the word, through adherence to the word, through listening to the word, through reading the word, through believing the word, through doing the word. Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what?" Now everybody's got faith of one kind or another. Some folks just have faith in themselves. And that's a sorry place to put your faith. But you got to have faith in the right thing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You got to believe what Jesus says. Got to be born of the Spirit by the word, he said to Nicodemus. And when that happens, the word of God becomes intrinsic, integral. It's a part of our makeup. It's a part of the mind and the mouth and the nose and the eyes and the ears. The word of God controls the whole man. Word of God cannot be separated from the believer. The word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. you don't have an excuse for being in darkness. If you don't know what to do and don't know what to believe, study the word. And if you don't know how to do that, come and hear it. Just make sure the man that's delivering is giving you the word and not his opinion. That's what you got to do. Listen, Jesus is coming soon. And we are nowhere near ready. And it's not his fault that we don't study the Bible. Not his fault that we don't read it. Not his fault that we are skeptical and unbelieving and all of that stuff. Jesus wants us saved. And he will use his word. Do you love the word tonight? If you do, say amen.
Amen.
Now, wait a minute. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. You're going to hear things from the word that you never heard before. Never understood before. Some of you heard it last night. But I want to ask you, what was given last night? Did it come from the word?
Yes.
Now, you sure you love the word?
Yes.
Somebody said to me one time, I wish I hadn't come to your meeting, hadn't learned these things. You're still responsible. Ask me that question, I'll answer it for you. Still responsible if you don't come. But Jesus wants us to be students of the word, born of the spirit. By the way, I love God's word.
Amen.
I want my faith based on his word, not on some denominational idea. I don't even preach denominationalism. I preach the word. And if I tell you and the word doesn't say it, you don't have to believe it. If I tell you and it's not in here, then I'm a liar. And if I were you, I wouldn't come back. Now, how much fairer can I be? You're to check on me by the way. You love the word? You want to be obedient to the word? You want to know more of the word? Then I appeal to you to stand on your feet and give evidence to heaven that you sincerely want that. Lord Jesus, it is written that you are the word, and that the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, blessed word of God. We come to you tonight wanting to be filled with the word, fed by the word, guided by the word, saved by the word. That's why we're standing here, Lord. Please have mercy on every one of us, the children as well as the adults. Lord, as we learn these things, let us not be, as was said in the parable, that the word fell on stony ground and the sun scorched it. Or it fell where there wasn't much earth and it took no root. Or it fell amongst thorns and was choked out, the thorns of worldliness and foolishness and pleasure. Oh, my Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the word that is disseminated here will fall on good ground and spring up and bear fruit in the lives of these whom you love. Have mercy upon us to that end. There is someone who cares. He sends his word to you. There is someone who cares, and his word is always true. There is someone who cares. He'll guide you safely through, for that someone who cares is Jesus. There is someone who cares. His truth will set you free. There is someone who cares, and both his testaments agree. There is someone who cares. They are life for you and me. For that someone who cares is Jesus. And now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. I pray that you'll have a good and safe night, that you'll sleep well, and have a good day tomorrow. But tomorrow night, don't let anything keep you from hearing an encouraging message from the Bible. Our title is Humanity Hopeless? Can we really live above sin? Oh, precious Lord, bring us back for that. And let us meet with thee tomorrow night for Jesus' sake. Let everybody say amen.
Something very special He'll do in your life, better than you can imagine. He'll take your heart and make your life brand new. Let the Savior take control of your life.
You've been listening to Pastor Charles D. Brooks with the conclusion of the sermon entitled The Two Preachers Who Quit the Church. As you know, we have been airing messages from a special series of meetings held not long ago in which Dr. Brooks presented all the biblical teachings essential for Christian growth and maturity. This special series is called the Breath of Life Crusade. Since our time together here is so brief, we are able to share these messages with you only in small chunks at a time. However, the whole set of 28 full-length sermons is available right now, and we recommend you add this priceless set to your library. We've also included the popular question and answer period, in which Dr. Brooks addresses specific questions from the audience. Not only will this material fortify you in the truth, but it provides a convenient and effective Share Your Faith tool. For more information, contact us and ask for information about the Breath of Life Crusade. Just call 1-800-528-8929 and ask for information on the Breath of Life Crusade. That phone number again is 1-800-528-8929. 1-800-528-8929. Ask for information on the Breath of Life Crusade. We'll get it out to you right away. If you're outside the U.S., call 1-301-439-2952. Again, if you're outside the U.S. and want information on the Breath of Life Crusade, call 1-301-439-2952. Our mailing address is Reach for Life, Post Office Box 3339, Silver Spring, Maryland 20918. Reach for Life, Post Office Box 3339, Silver Spring, Maryland 20918 in the U.S. Contact us today. I'm Harry Jeffrey, your host for the Reach for Life program. On behalf of Pastor Brooks, Adrian Wesney, music arranger, and Myron S. Otley, our executive producer, thank you for listening. We urge you to invite Jesus Christ into your heart for peace, for true happiness, and for everlasting life. Reach for Life is a production of Christian Resources International. Until next time, God bless.